16. This is the reading of God's holy word. I am the vine, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given to you. This is to my Father's glory, that you may bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's command and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love hath no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Thus the reading of God's word this morning, as we find it from John chapter 15. Well, as you can see on your outlines, if there is one common thread in all of the world's false religions, that common thread would be one thing: man can save himself. In the Islamic religion, for example, you are taught that the way to heaven is to spend your life fulfilling the five pillars of Islam. That includes reciting the Islamic confession on a daily basis, praying five times a day, praying towards the holy city of Mecca, fasting, almsgiving, and a once-in-a-lifetime pilgrimage to Mecca. And you're taught by way of Muhammad the prophet that if you faithfully do all of these things throughout your life, you will move to a greater state, a state of heaven, saved from this world. In the Hindu religions, you are also taught to follow the teachings of teachers or particular ways of piety that these teachers have taught. Such Hindu teachers as Buddha and others give you practical steps as to how you can better your life, better your piety, which often includes bringing fruit to an altar, or perhaps meditation, or some form in which you yourself can move to a higher state of consciousness, and someday, after you pass away, you can enter that state. The focus is on yourself. The focus in these false religions are what you can do. And if your life is bad, there's a way you can make your life better. And so many of the cults that we know today, Jehovah Witnesses and the Mormons, a couple examples, also focus on a works-oriented salvation. Things you must do, and if you do these things faithfully, you can have assurance of some sort of salvation or future place where you can go. Well, there's more examples I could give of these false religions, but the point of all of them is that somehow man, if you follow that religion, can save himself. Christianity, of course, teaches something much different. The Bible teaches us that man is a sinner and that man cannot save himself as a sinner. And the only way that man can be saved is by a Savior that God has sent, that Savior Jesus Christ, God's Son who died on the cross. But nevertheless, even Christians tend to fall into this understanding that somehow there is something we must also do. Yes, they agree we are saved by grace, and God is the one who saves us, but there must be something else that comes along with it, some sort of human effort which will enable us to know or have the comfort that we are saved. And one verse that throughout church history has been used for this confusion in terms of salvation and grace is verse 4. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. Or as some of your Bibles have the word, abide in me, and I will abide in you. In the Roman Catholic understanding of grace, they believe in something which we call meritorious grace. What does that mean? It means, of course, that you are saved by grace, that Jesus Christ is the one who saves you. But as a Catholic, there must be something in addition that you must do to merit or to earn that grace. And so they lay out their system of 7 sacraments, not the 2 sacraments we know, baptism and the Lord's Supper, but they have 7 sacraments that throughout their lives, that as they participate in those sacraments, abiding in Christ or remaining in Him in their participation, grace will be given to their account, and at the end of their life, they will have enough grace from Christ to be saved. For example, when a child is baptized, the child receives grace in his account, and the person level of grace is raised up. Marriage is a sacrament, and as you are married, grace is given to your account. As you go to confession and the priest offers his forgiveness, grace is put into your account. When you partake of the Mass, or what we know as the Lord's Supper, they call Mass, and you eat and drink of the actual body and blood of Christ, as they believe it turns into, grace is put in your account. That's why they go every day, many of them. When a Catholic is about to die, there's a rush to have a priest come to the bedside so the last rites can be put upon the person and the last amount of grace may be given in their account and lifted up so they may be saved. So you see how they understand salvation is by grace in Christ, but there must be something you must do to merit that grace. And as you participate in the sacraments, as you, 15 verse 4, remain in Christ or remain in Him in those participation, He will remain in you. But you notice from your outlines this morning that not only did I put the Catholics on there as a major under part of Christianity that believes in grace, but something you must do, but a more common one includes what we call in Reform circles Arminianism. What is Arminianism? Well, of course, Arminius lived during the time of the 1600s, I believe, and he taught a different understanding of salvation by grace. Yes, you are saved by Jesus Christ. You are saved by His death on the cross, but God, when He sent His Son Jesus Christ to die, saved everyone through Christ. Christ paid for the sins of everyone in the world. And now, what you must do is choose Him. And John 15, verse 4, again, is one of the supporting verses for this understanding of salvation. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. Well, how do you remain in Him? Well, the first thing you must do to abide in Him or remain in Him is to choose Him. God didn't choose you. Christ made it possible, according to them, for you to be saved, and now it is your responsibility, something you must do, a way you must abide or remain in him by choosing him for salvation. Now keep in mind the passage in which we are focused on today. Jesus is speaking of the vine and the branches. And he has declared, I am the vine, you are the branches. But now the branch, according to their understanding, has to choose the vine. The branch doesn't grow from the vine, but the branch, which is apart from the vine, has to do something. He must choose the vine to abide in the vine or to be in the vine. You see their understanding again of how one must abide or something they must do to know this grace. But not only is their understanding reflected in terms of their understanding of being chosen or included in the vine, but it also has effects in their lives. And sometimes how they feel or know or have confidence in their salvation. Sometimes what they do is to make sure, John 15 verse 4, that they remain in Christ and he will remain in them, they enter into a particular manner or way of life that they feel they must do to remain in him. So not only must they choose him, but after that, they must work at remaining in him. And sometimes these methods almost become sort of like a boot camp, military boot camp technique way to remain in Christ. At one point in my educational experience, I took a discipleship class which came from this approach. And in the course of the class, I was taught how to remain in Christ. Specific skills were given to me as to how and a specific plan as to how to know that you are abiding and how to abide in Christ. This included 10-minute quiet times in the Scriptures each and every morning and each and every evening, an hour-long Bible study reading time during the day, regular prayers throughout the day, going through life, and as you encounter people, giving spiritual truths and always being prepared and ready to speak for Christ no matter what opportunity you see yourself in your life. And as you do all these things, you have confidence that you are abiding in Christ and that you are one of his. Now keep in mind that as these skills were laid out, and even today, I still practice some of these skills. There's nothing wrong, in a sense, for what they're teaching you or how these skills can be helpful for your relationship with Christ. But the point in which it started often left people confused. Because if a person, like a fellow classmate of mine, failed to do their quiet time once or twice a day, or failed to be in prayer as much as they had planned or said it was going to be, they soon began to question whether they were really abiding in Christ. They soon began to question whether there was fruit coming out of their life because they had failed to keep the plan or what they had set themselves out to do. You see, that sometimes is what can happen when there is a wrong understanding of John 15 verse 4. Christ saying, remain in me and I will remain in you. Does that mean that, yes, we're saved by grace, but there are still things you must do? Well, as you look at the context of John 15, you can see this morning that this is not what Jesus is teaching us in this chapter. And one such place that you can see this is the next verse, the first part of that verse, verse 5. In that verse, Jesus declares, I am the vine, you are the branches. Jesus is declaring himself as I am, as God. Just as throughout the rest of John's gospel, he has declared himself, I am the bread of life, I am the water of life, I am the light of the world. Now he has declared himself, I am the vine. God is the vine. His people, you, the disciples, you are the branches. Who took the initiative in this case? God did. In the next verse, Jesus is speaking in terms of this divine initiative. Yes, he says in verse 4, remain in me, I will remain in you. But in the next verse, he's saying, I am the vine, you are the branches. God initiated this. God is the one who is doing this. And you do not attach yourself to me, but you grow out of me as the branch that has given you life. Also notice the end of verse 5. I'll read the whole verse. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. But what? Apart from me, you can do nothing. You cannot choose God apart from him. You cannot, as a branch, engraft yourself into the vine and somehow participate in your salvation. He is the one who does it all. He is the divine initiator. He is the one who has chosen you. And apart from him, apart from God, you can do nothing. Also look at verse 16, the end of this section, how the author wraps up everything that he has said in this entire section of verse 16, which some might say could have been spoken by John Calvin himself. You did not choose me, but I chose you. No, you didn't choose God. You didn't engraft yourself into him. God chose you. He is the initiator. He is the one who chose you, and you responded unto him based on his work, what he has accomplished and done in your life. There is nothing within yourself that is for your salvation. It's not that you're better looking. It's not that you're a better person. It's not that you're more capable. It's not because you've tried to be a good person. It is because God elected you and chose you is the reason for your salvation. But that still leaves the question this morning of fruit. We disagree with the Arminian understanding of verse 4, remain in me and I will remain in you. That means that you choose him. Christ died on the cross for everybody, forgave everybody's sins, and now people have to choose him. But what about the abiding understanding? What about the meritorious understanding from the Catholic faith? That somehow there is something we must do to abide in him or to remain in him. We'll take again a look at some of the surrounding verses. The middle of verse 4. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Now verse 5, the middle of that verse. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Nothing. Nothing you can do can produce fruit. The only way fruit from your Christian life will show is from Christ and what he is doing in you. See that, verse 5? If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from Christ, you cannot, by your works, by your godliness, produce fruit. You have to be attached to the vine. And because you're attached to the vine, you will produce fruit from your life, says our Lord in John 15. Also look again at the last part of verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Even the fruit Christ has appointed you to do, even the fruit, the work of Christ through his Spirit is at work and is enabling you to do. God has initiated it, you have responded to it, and you are doing it because you belong to him. Now keep in mind what this difference means. This morning you have come to church to worship God. You are not coming to church because it is something you must do to abide in him. And if you do it, you feel that somehow you've participated in abiding in him. No, you go to church because you are abiding in him. There should be no question in your mind that you belong to him, and it becomes natural to you. You know that this is what's taught in the Bible, and because you love Christ, because you're attached to the vine, you come to church and you worship. It is the fruit of your life that shows that you belong to him and are attached to him. You don't read your Bible every day because it's something you must do to abide in him. And if you do it, you live with the comfort that you're in him. You do it because you want to read his word, because you love him, because you're attached to him, because you want him to communicate to you, and you want to communicate with him. Isn't that what Jesus is saying in verse 3 and verse 7? In particular, verse 3, you are already clean, he tells his disciples, because of the word I have spoken to you. Jesus spoke to them the gospel, and they believed it, and they dwelled with it as he walked with them, as he was near them. Also, verse 7, if you remain in me, and my words remain in you. Through the scriptures is how God communicates to his people. As someone who is attached to the vine, your inner heart desires to read those scriptures and to know those scriptures. And that is the fruit that Jesus is speaking of in response to what God has done in your life. The same thing applies to prayer and other means of grace. You don't pray every day because, well, it says remain in me and it's something I must do. You pray every day because you love God, because you're attached to him, because as you read the scriptures and he communicates to you, you want to communicate to him. And this flowing of communication is because you are attached to him and you belong to him, and it comes forth from you, and the fruit of your life and what God is doing in your life shows as you participate in serving him, in knowing him, and in loving him. It comes natural to the person who belongs to him. And that's the kind of thing that Jesus is speaking of when he declares, apart from me, you can do nothing. You do it not of yourself, you do it because you are attached to him and it flows out of you. Do you see the balance of this parable that God is laying out for you? God has taken the initiative, he has chosen his people. And branches do not attach themselves to the vine. They grow out of the vine. And as they grow out of the vine, as through the way God communicates in his means of grace, the preaching of the word, the scriptures, the prayer, the sacraments, they are strengthened and they grow and more fruit flows from their life and it naturally flows from them. There's no question they belong to him, and this fruit produce, or these vines, this nourishment produces the kind of fruit which demonstrates that they remain in him and they belong to him. Now, as you look at our text this morning, and some of you have asked me about this, when we approach John 15, what do we do then with Judas? Here's Judas mentioned in chapter 13, having sat at the Lord's table, having had his feet washed by our Lord, and already gone out in chapter 13 to betray him. And we even read there, I believe it's verse 29, that Satan went into him. That's chapter 13. Now we come to John 15. And here's this Judas, who was specifically trained in discipleship by our Lord. He learned from our Lord how to listen to the word. We know that as disciples, they prayed, and our Lord taught them how. We know that as they walked through the land, he was a follower of Jesus and even participated in the Last Supper with Jesus. But Jesus tells us in this parable, John 15, verse 2, he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. And in verse 6, if anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. Judas was one never attached to the vine. Verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear fruit. Judas, through all his learning of discipleship and of following Jesus, could not come out of there and produce fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If he was truly attached to the vine, as the other disciples were, Jesus said in verse 5, he will bear fruit. But here's someone who's walking with the disciples, and on earth looks like he's attached to the vine, but there is no fruit. So we know that he never was. But the focus of this passage this morning is not what happened to Judas. The focus of this passage this morning is not to make you question whether you're a Christian. But the focus of this passage this morning is the work of God in your life. God is the one who chose you and who initiated your salvation. God is the one who, through the power of his Spirit, produces the fruit of the Spirit in your life. That because you are attached to him, your life, your Christianity flows out of him because you know him, you love him, you want to serve him. And it leaves the believer not doubting, but comforted that they belong to him, that God is the one who saves them, and that they, as a believer, by reading the scriptures and learning more about God, follow him and love him, and the fruit of their Christianity flows out of those things as they learn more, as they study more, as they grow more. This is the kind of thing that Jesus wants us to remember from this parable. He warns us, just because you're in the church doesn't mean you're saved. But what it does mean is he gives us a way that through our love for God, we can know and have confidence that we are his, not by our effort, but by what he has done in us. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you this morning for this passage in John 15, which speaks to us so clearly about the salvation that God has given us. And Lord, we know that it is not of ourselves. We know that apart from him, we can do nothing. And so we rejoice at his initiative, which has worked up in our lives and has saved us. We thank you, Lord, for the way your Spirit continues to be at work in us so that we abide in you, that we know with confidence that we belong to the vine, that we know by the way that we communicate with you and study your word and worship you, that we belong to you as the fruit is flowing from us. We pray, O God, that you would enable us through your grace to live out our life for you more and more each day. That, Lord, through our reading and studying of your word, through our fellowship with other Christians, through even reading books, Lord, that teach us or guide us in our understanding of what it means to better serve you, your Spirit would continue to work in us, that we would give up the temptations we have for sin and unfaithfulness, and Lord, your Spirit may sanctify us more and more, that the fruit of belonging to you may shine to those in the world, even those who do not know you. Grant us this grace, grant us this peace. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.